ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 60। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा टीजर्स रुक्मिणी। टेक्स्ट नंबर 42।
कान्यं श्रयेत तव पाद सरोजगन्धम् आग्राय सन्मुखरितं जनतापवर्गम् लक्ष्म्यालयं त्वविगुणय गुणालयस्य मर्त्या सदोरुभयमर्त विविक्त दृष्टि कान्यं श्रयेत तव पाद सरोजगन्धम् आग्राय सन्मुखरितं जनतापवर्गम् लक्ष्म्यालयं त्वविगणय्य गुणालयस्य मर्त्या सदोरुभयमर्त विविक्त दृष्टि कान्यं श्रयेत तव पाद सरोजगन्धम् आग्राय सन्मुखरितं जनतापवर्गम् सदोर्भयमर्त विविक्त दृष्टि कान्यं श्रयेत तव पाद सरोजगन्धम् आग्राय सन्मुखरितं जनतापवर्गम् लक्ष्म्यालयं त्वविगणय्य गुणालयस्य या सदोरुभयमर्त विविक्त दृष्टि।
माताजी
यं श्रयेत तव पाद सरोजगन्धम् அக்ராய சண்முகரிதம் ஜனதாபவர்கம். லக்ஷ்மியாலயம் த்விகணைய குணாலயஸ்ய மர்த்யா சதோரு பயமர்த்த விவிக்த திருஷ்டி.
வட் வட் டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன். கா வாட் உமன் அன்யம் அனதர் மேன் ஸ்ரயேத வுட் டேக் ஷெல்டர் ஆஃப் தவ யுவர் பாத ஆஃப் த ஃபீட் Saroja of the lotus, Gandham, the aroma, Agraya, having smelled, Sat, by great saints, Mukaritam, described, Janata, for all people, Apavargam, bestowing liberation, Lakshmi of the goddess of fortune, Alayam, the place of residence, Tu, but, Aviganaya, not taking seriously, Guna of all transcendental qualities, Alayasya of the abode, Martya, mortal, Sada, always, Uru, great, Bayam, one who has fear, Artha, her best interest, Vivikta, ascertaining, Drishti, whose insight. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The aroma of your lotus feet, which is glorified by great saints, awards people liberation and is the abode of Goddess Lakshmi. What woman would take shelter of any other man after savoring that adharma, after savoring that aroma? Since you are the abode of transcendental qualities, what mortal woman with the insight to distinguish her own true interest would disregard that fragrance and depend instead on someone who is always subject to terrible fear? Purport. In text 16, Lord Krishna claimed that he was Gunair Hina, bereft of all good qualities. To refute this claim, the devoted Rukmini here states that the Lord is Gunalaya, the abode of all good qualities. In a single moment, the so-called powerful men of this world can be reduced to utter helplessness and confusion. Indeed, destruction is the inevitable fate of all powerful masculine bodies. The Lord, however, has an eternal spiritual body that is omnipotent and infinitely beautiful. And thus, as Queen Rukmini argues here, how could any sane, enlightened woman take shelter of anyone but the Supreme Lord Krishna?
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine நமஸ்தி சாரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷா சூன்யவாதி பாஷாதி தசதாரிணே ஜெய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதா ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்த விருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம் ஹரே ராம் 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 ஹரே ஹரே.
So we are reading from this section. It's a very beautiful chapter of Krishna teasing Rukmini. So Already many wonderful devotees had spoken very nice insights into this chapter. So I'll also try to speak some thoughts on this chapter. So in this chapter, now in this series of verses, Rukmini is actually giving different or counter arguments for actually how she had made the right decision for choosing Krishna as her husband, as her husband. So Krishna had actually told in the beginning of this chapter, Krishna told Rukmini that you made a wrong choice in marrying me. And then Krishna said that actually I am bereft of all good qualities. Many other people like Sishupal and others, they were actually much better than me. Like that, Krishna gave many different arguments. And I was actually out of fear, I took shelter within the ocean. So Krishna had given so many arguments, and then Rukmini is actually countering all these arguments. So as we see in this chapter, why Krishna was actually teasing Rukmini is that Krishna was thinking that the previous chapter, Krishna had actually brought the Parijata tree for the Satyabhama, the previous chapter. So if you see Rukmini and Satyabhama, they have, like, in one sense, they have exactly opposite mood. So Krishna was thinking, previously when Narada Muni brought one Parijata flower, and then Krishna gave that one Parijata flower to Rukmini. So at that time, Satyabhama became so angry, Satyabhama could not be pacified till he got the whole Parijata tree for Satyabhama. On the other hand, when Krishna gave that Parijata tree to Satyabhama, Krishna could not see even an iota of anger or displeasure in Rukmini. So if we see the Rukmini and Satyabhama, like Satyabhama became so angry just because Krishna gave one Parijata flower to Rukmini, and Krishna was saying like Rukmini did not even become slightly angry, although he gave full Parijata tree to Satyabhama. So one thing we can see here is that there are in the spiritual world, among the associates of the Lord, there are actually varieties of devotees. There is a great diversity among the devotees, among the associates of Krishna. Just like in the Chaitanya Leela also, Gadadhar Pandit was having the mood of Rukmini Devi, and Jagadananda Pandit was in the mood of Satyabhama. So Gadadhar Pandit was always submissive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagadananda Pandit sometimes would actually chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit is described, just if you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they would every day discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the temple of Tota Gopinath. And in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they would discuss each pastime at least 100 times before going to the next pastime. And it is described that especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, Mahaprabhu would take great pleasure in hearing the story of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. In one class, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining that why Mahaprabhu would take great pleasure in hearing these two stories. So through these two stories, Mahaprabhu is actually indicating that in order to progress in spiritual life, we have to imbibe these two qualities. One is determination from the character of Dhruva Maharaj, and another is the patience or tolerance from the character of Prahlad Maharaj. So Gadadhar Pandit would actually would narrate the story of Dhruva Maharaj so many times, and Mahaprabhu would take pleasure in hearing that. And the same determination, that quality is exhibited by Gadadhar Pandit here in the form of Rukmini Devi. That although like Rukmini Devi is like giving each so many arguments and completely dismantling all the arguments given by Krishna, and she is expressing her determination to actually serve Krishna. So this is a beautiful character of Gadadhar Pandit and Rukmini Devi. So here we see that there is actually diversity among the devotees of Krishna. Like for example, we see the difference between material world and the spiritual world. In the material world, there are varieties of living entities, and in the spiritual world also there is varieties of devotees. But the material world is filled with varieties of living entities who want to rebel against Krishna. There are different varieties of ways, innumerable ways of rebelling against Krishna. But in the spiritual world also there are varieties, but there are varieties of devotees with the mood to serve Krishna. So there is actually agreement in that particular aspect of pleasing Krishna. But here in the material world, they agree in that aspect of rebelling against Krishna. So therefore there is so much of disagreement. So the same this one, we see that another diversity among the devotees of the Lord, like Vritrasur and Kunti Maharani. Like Kunti Maharani, she offered the prayer, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrit ratim utvahatad anda gange vogam udanvati. That let my consciousness flow towards you, just like Ganges is actually flowing towards the ocean without any obstruction. So Kunti Maharani, she offered the prayer, and Vritrasur, he also offered exactly a similar prayer. Aham hare tava padaika moolo dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha manasmare tasu pater gunamste grihita vakarma karotu kayaha. So Vritrasur said, when will the day come when I can become the servant of your devotees? And he says that manas maretasu pater gunamse, let my mind be engaged in thinking about you, let my words be engaged in glorifying you, and let my body be engaged in the service of you. In one sense, if you see, this is exactly the same prayer, which maybe the words may be different, but in substance way the same prayer. Ratim udvakata dadda gange vogam madanvati. Let my consciousness flow towards you like Ganges flow towards the ocean without any obstruction. Similarly, Vritrasura also offered the same prayer. But if you see externally, Kunti Maharani is she is a simple lady, a simple widow lady with 5 sons, but Vritrasura is a devotee, but he was actually in the body of a demon. And if we read the description in the 6th canto about the appearance of Vritrasur, Vritrasur was actually having a coppery red hair, and then he was his eyes were so reddish, and he was having a long beard, and when he was walking, he was trampling over the people, he was killing so many demigods, and he was when he roared, it caused such terror that all the demigods started fleeing from the battlefield. So externally it is you won't find, even if you see sometimes match the following, sometimes in some magazines there are 2 photos are given, see the differences between the, what are the differences in the photo, or what are the commonalities, or you won't find even one commonality between Kunti Maharani and Vritrasura externally. Only difference is, but the substance wise they have the same mood of devotion. So in that sense we see the spiritual platform among the associates of the Lord, there is, in the substance wise they are actually, they have the they want to serve the Lord, but within that there is so much of diversity. So that is what we see between Rukmini and Satyabhama. So in fact Prabhupada gives some very beautiful quotes on this principle of unity in diversity. In one place, in one of the letters, on one of the conversation, he says that if you want to keep the movement, this Krishna consciousness movement successful, he says that maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. And another place he says
that the sixth canto purport, actually the translation, but sometimes like Prabhupada's translation also includes a purport. So in that verse he says that advanced devotees, they actually see unity in diversity. He mentions that in the ultimate analysis, he says those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity in diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, His name, His fame, His attributes and forms and the weapons in His hand are manifestations of the strength of His potency. So advanced devotee, they see this principle of unity in diversity. So unity in diversity means there is unity among the devotees in regards to serving Krishna, but they have maybe diverse, they express their devotion in different ways. So sometimes one may go to two different extremes. One is that in order to, sometimes a person maintains a diversity, but then he does not maintain the unity. And sometimes in order to maintain the unity, we actually suppress the diversity. And that will not actually last long. So one has to maintain the unity and also diversity. Like for example, like suppose a person is, say, worshipping the Lord. The pujari is dressing the deities. So in dressing the deities, there are certain basic guide, there are some basic principles. Like for example, in the case of Krishna, flute has to be there, there has to be tulsi leaf in the lotus feet. And there are some basic principles, garland has to be there, earrings has to be there. But within that, there is room for expressing one's creativity, there is room for actually expressing one's devotion in a different, diverse manner. Different kinds of clothes, different ornaments one may choose. But there is no choice with regards to like putting flute or not putting flute. So in that, there is actually unity. But within that, there is no question of not putting tulsi leaf in the lotus feet. There is no question of that. But there are varieties, that there is room for diversity and creativity in other aspects. So if, just to maintain the unity, if we standardize everything, if we actually do not give room for diversity, then it may lead to little boring and people will feel little choked up because they are not their freedom is not given. But at the same time, just like if you give so much of freedom and somebody says, "Oh, today I don't want, feel like putting flute," so then that is actually that becomes a deviation. So basically, that's what Krishna Prabhupada says, that one has to maintain the principle of unity in diversity in order to maintain this movement very successfully. And another place, Prabhupada gives a very simple definition in the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, is nothing but unity in diversity. The principle of unity in diversity, it is philosophically known as Achintya Beda Beda. So in this way we see that there is so much of like diversity among the devotees of the Supreme Lord. And especially even if you see the Vedic culture, even if you don't take the aspect of devotion to Krishna, even the Vedic culture, if you see, there is so much of diversity. Like for example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam or the different Puranas, whenever you read a description of some natural scenic place, like for example, when there's a description of Vaikuntha planets, or when there's a description of Kailash in the fourth canto, or the description of the place surrounding Bindu Sarovar in the third canto, a description of Vrindavan, you will see the description will contain so many types of birds and so many types of trees and so many types of animals. So much of variety we can see in the description. So Vedic culture allows actually so much of diversity, so much of variety. On the other hand, we see the modern system. Modern system, it actually destroys the diversity. If you talk to certain people in organic farming, etc., they say like previously there were some 1,000 varieties of like rice, but now you hardly have some 200 varieties of rice. And previously there were something like 200 varieties of cows, and now the varieties of cows are only 27-30. So the modern system, it actually kills the diversity. And so not only kills the diversity among the crops, among the animals, but even among the human beings, it kills the diversity by trying to equate man with women or women with man. Whereas actually, every person has a different role, every person has a certain strength and certain weakness. And if you recognize that, and then when a person plays the role accordingly, then one person's weakness will be taken care of by another person's strength. But if you do not recognize that weakness and strength, if you artificially try to make different species or different animals or man and woman as equal, then it actually creates a artificial situation which leads to so many problems. So the Vedic culture, it actually, there is so much of diversity in the Vedic culture, you will see in the description. But the modern culture actually kills that diversity. And when that materialistic conception, when the modern culture, when it enters even the spiritual society, sometimes even a spiritual society can also be affected by this modern disease of killing the diversity. So how does it affect the spiritual society? In the sense that sometimes in a spiritual society, when a leader emphasizes only one type of service, when he does not emphasize the different varieties of service, then it may actually kill the diversity, and different people may get choked up, and they may not be, because they have a particular nature. They are more comfortable in doing a particular type of service, and only one type of service is emphasized, say book distribution or youth preaching or say only deity worship, or only one type of service is emphasized, then it actually, that means even a spiritual society is infected by the modern disease. So then it actually kills the diversity, and it can create an imbalance in the long run. So we can see here that Rukmini and Satyabhama, both are actually pure devotees of the Lord. They are the eternal associates of the Lord, but they have like exactly opposite nature. And there was one student once in that college. There was one preacher was going. So that particular preacher has a particular nature of little soft-spoken, gentle, etc. So then, so one of the students from that program, like he came to the temple, and he met with some other devotee, and that devotee was like extrovert, and he was like joking and laughing, and this devotee got little bewildered, and he thought, I thought like everybody in the temple would be like this particular devotee. And I never knew devotees can also be like that. So, in the sense, like sometimes a person may get bewildered by the different different moods of the devotees. Like here, Satyabhama, like she became so angry just because one flower was given to Rukmini. But Rukmini did not even show even slightest anger, although whole tree was given to Satyabhama. Completely like two different extreme natures. So one thing is that in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna, when he talks about the qualities of the devotees, he mentions one particular quality called as Kavi. A devotee is actually called as Kavi. But here, he gives a different definition of a Kavi. Kavi means usually a person who is poetic. But here, the definition which is given is that a kavi is one who can actually reconcile the different contradictory natures. one who can harmonize the different contradictions, such a person is actually a kavi. So he says, a devotee is one who can actually reconcile, who can harmonize the different contradictory natures. So in that sense, like sometimes the initial days we may get bewildered by devotees with two different natures. Both are actually sincere, but they may be apparently having different moods. But when a person advances, he is able to reconcile the different contradictions, apparent contradiction in two different devotees, or in the contradiction in the same devotee. Hridayananda Maharaj gives an example that Mahaprabhu, when he was going to South India, that Sarvam Bhattacharya, when Mahaprabhu was leaving, Sarvam Bhattacharya collapsed and then he became unconscious. That Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu did not even turn back, and but he just proceeded ahead. So there Kaviraj Goswami says, sometimes great souls are like, they can be harder than a thunderbolt and at the same time softer than a rose. This is like two different contradictory natures. But he says, one who can reconcile such contradictory natures is actually a kavi. That's one of the qualities of a devotee. So we should not get bewildered by these two different natures, but we should see the commonality. We should try to reconcile the contradictions. Both are actually the concerts of the Supreme Lord. And we see in this particular pastime, Krishna is actually teasing Rukmini. Krishna is joking with Rukmini in order to see the angry mood of Rukmini. So usually, in dramas or in cinemas, that jokes are used as a filler, like sometime between two serious scenes or between some violence or fighting scenes. Sometimes jokes are used as a filler. There's only serious scenes and people that may also become boring. Like there's a main storyline, but then there is some jokes are inserted in between. But usually we don't jokes are used so that in order to lighten the mood. But here, when Krishna is actually making some jokes with Rukmini, but when you read the purports of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and the Prabhupada's disciples have written purport, they have written such elaborate purports. That means, this joke, when Krishna is joking with somebody, you can write a philosophical thesis, you can make a PhD thesis on those jokes. But when somebody, ordinary people, when they are joking with somebody, you can't write some philosophical thesis because they are bored with the philosophy, so they want to make some joke and But when Krishna is joking with Rukmini, you can write a like philosophical thesis on these jokes. So in that sense, then Krishna's pastimes, like when a husband is joking with wife, somebody teasing other, it is something attractive. But although it is attractive, but there is so much of Siddhanta also involved in this. So the Krishna's pastimes are a combination of rasa and Siddhanta. So rasa makes the attractive, the pastimes make it attractive. At the same time, there is so much of Siddhanta. An expert cook is one who can make palatable food and also nutritious food. If somebody is making only nutritious food, but if it is not palatable, then people cannot eat. If it is only palatable, but the nutrition content is not there, then like you won't get the strength. But Krishna's pastimes are like, there is Siddhanta and Rasa both. So even in actually preaching, if you see, one has to present in such a way that it actually attracts the people, but at the same time there should be Siddhanta, there should be lessons in that. Like for example, when Narada Muni is preaching to Prachina Barishad, so Narada Muni spoke an allegorical story of Puranjan. So this story of Puranjan, he spoke this in order to attract Prachina Barishad, because Prachina Barishad himself was a king and he didn't want to hear some direct instructions. So Narada Muni spoke some allegorical story of another king and in order to attract him. And if you read that story of Puranjan, So that story involves some romance, Puranjan meeting with with his consort, and then it also involves some adventure, Puranjan going to the forest to hunt animals. So romance, adventure, so many things are involved. But then ultimately, at the end of the story, Narada Muni tells, although I have spoken the story of Puranjan, but I have spoken the story using Parokshavad. That means, externally I have spoken the story of a king, but indirectly I have given you spiritual instruction through this particular story. And then Shukdev Goswami says, Yetan Mukunda Yashasa Bhuvanam Punanam Devarishi Varya Mukha Nishritam Atma Shaucham. Shukdev Goswami says, Narada Muni has spoken the fame of Lord Mukunda through this particular story. So that means, Narada Muni has spoken in an attractive manner, but actually it is filled with the glories of Lord Mukunda. It is filled with spiritual instruction. So, you see, the same method is also adopted by materialistic people. The sense that materialistic people, they also make movies which involve romance, comedy, nice storyline, and maybe cinematography and so many things. But they essentially, some movies are made in order to break the faith of the people in religion. So they're making the faith of the people in religion. So they are giving a poison of faithlessness in God, but they have packaged it in a nice way so that it attracts the people. And devotees also adopt the same method. They give the Siddhanta, but in an attractive manner. And another beautiful thing in this particular pastime is that when Krishna spoke those words in the beginning of this chapter, when Krishna spoke to Rukmini that how she should not have made that choice to marry him. So the immediate reaction of Rukmini is that Rukmini immediately collapses and she becomes unconscious. She becomes unconscious because she felt that, oh, I am going to be separated from Krishna. Because of the imminent mood of separation, that she immediately becomes unconscious. And then Krishna actually, Krishna manifests four hands, and then he pacifies Rukmini, and he makes her come out of her unconscious state, and then he tells Rukmini that actually don't take those words seriously, I just wanted to see your angry mood. And then, so Krishna spoke like that. And then after that, when Rukmini became freed from the fear that Krishna is going to be separated from her, then Rukmini is actually speaking all these counter arguments. So we see two qualities of Rukmini. That Rukmini was overwhelmed with the emotions and she became completely unconscious. And then now Rukmini is actually dismantling each and every argument of Krishna through her intelligence, by logically presenting. So we see these two qualities. A devotee has emotions, he has sentiments for Krishna. At the same time, a devotee actually uses his intelligence to serve Krishna. So Krishna says that, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Buddha bhava samanvita. A devotee is intelligent, but at the same time, bhava samanvita, that means he's offering all his heart's emotions for Krishna. So this combination is actually the nature of a devotee. Even in Ramayana, when Lord Ram built the monkey soldiers and Lord Ram, when they built that bridge, and then when the monkey soldiers, when they crossed the bridge, when they came to Lanka, so Sugriva, out of enthusiasm, he went to Ravana and then he actually punched Ravana. And then he gave some slap to Ravana and then he actually came back. And he came and told Lord Ram, what I did, and then I went and actually punched Ravana and came back. So Lord Ram said, this is not a right strategy. You just went alone and what if something had happened to you, that in case if you had been killed, then I would have experienced more pain than that of losing Sita or than that of losing Jatayu. So if you see in this speech of Lord Ram, Lord Ram is talking about strategy. This is not the right strategy to go alone and actually to go and fight with the Ravan. So he's talking from an intelligence point of view. He says that this is not the right strategy. You should have a proper strategy to fight with the enemies. You cannot be simply be emotional and suddenly go and fight. So he's telling to use proper strategy. And Lord Ram is also exhibiting emotions. He's saying, if I had lost you, I would have experienced more pain than that of losing Sita and Jatayu. So there is a combination of emotion and intelligence. So Rukmini is also, she was so emotional, she became unconscious, but she is actually exhibiting, and now she is actually using her intelligence, she is defeating all the arguments of Krishna. And another beautiful theme which comes in this pastime is that, so Rukmini, she became unconscious because she felt that, oh, Krishna is going to leave me. So because of the, she felt though, I'm going to be separated from Krishna, so that thought actually made her completely unconscious. So there is another section from the 10th canto, where the gopis also are in a similar mood, and they speak one beautiful verse, and Vishnu Chakravarti writes a very beautiful purport, and we'll try to just go through that particular section. So when Krishna, the Rasa Panchatyaya, when Krishna actually played the flute, so the gopis, they left all their different duties and then they came in the middle of the night in order to actually please Krishna. When the gopis actually came to meet Krishna, to their surprise, like Krishna told the gopis to actually go back. So Krishna said, this is not right in part of you. You should actually, your duty is to serve your husbands and parents and other people. You cannot come in the middle of the night and that too in this dark forest. You should go and perform your duties. So when Krishna spoke this, so that time the gopis actually, speak a series of verses to Krishna. So in one beautiful verse, the gopis say, Yat pat apatya sugrudam anuvritti ranga strinam swadharma iti dharma vidatvayoktam asveva metad upadesha pade iveshe preshto bhavam stanubrutam kila banduratma. So the gopis say, our dear Krishna, as an expert in religion, you have advised us the proper religious duties of a woman. That is to faithfully serve their husband, children and other relatives. And we agree that this principle is valid, but actually this service should be rendered to you. After all, O Lord, you are the dearmost friend of all embodied souls and you are their most intimate relative and indeed their very self. So here, so why this verse is interesting is that gopis are telling to Krishna, you have told us to actually serve our husbands and relatives, etc. But actually, all this service should be rendered to you because you are the Supreme Lord, you are the Paramatma manifested, you are the actual external manifestation of Paramatma, we should actually serve you. So by serving you, we are actually fulfilling the servant, our duties towards all our husbands and relatives, etc. So here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes a beautiful purport. So here, because he's trying to highlight the point, the gopis are actually identifying Krishna that, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the external form of Paramatma. So here he says that, he talks about what is the nature of a devotee on the stage of prema. So a devotee at the stage of prema, sometimes he is in separation from Krishna and sometimes he is in union with Krishna. And he says, yes, a devotee at the stage of prema, when he is in separation from Krishna, and that devotee experiences so much of pain, and that pain is like the heat produced by millions of sun rays. So when there is a heat produced by millions of sun rays, when there is a millions of suns are present, it means like there will be so much of effulgence. So in that particular stage, a devotee is not only aware of Krishna's qualities of sweetness, but a devotee is also aware of Krishna's qualities of Aishwarya. It means a devotee is also aware of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, when he is in the mood of separation from Krishna. It is talking about the devotee at the stage of prema. And on the other hand, when a premi bhakta is in the stage of union with Krishna, when he is actually in the presence of Krishna, so at that time, a devotee experiences that union with Krishna is pleasing like millions of moon rays, which is actually cooling and pleasing in nature. So moon is known for actually producing nectar. So when a devotee is in union with Krishna, he is actually drinking the intoxicating nectar of coming from the millions of moon rays. So when a person is intoxicated, he naturally does not know everything. So in that stage, a premi bhakta in union with Krishna, so therefore he is only aware of Krishna's qualities of sweetness, but not his qualities of Aishwarya. And then he says that, but suppose if a devotee in union with Krishna, if he is aware of not only Krishna's qualities of sweetness, but if he is also aware of Krishna's qualities of Aishwarya, then we must know that such a devotee is not in the stage of prema, but he is in a little lower stage. And then Vishnu Chakravartakur says, but then he comes to this particular pastime, that in the case of the gopis, so at this time the gopis are actually in the presence of Krishna. They are in the presence of Krishna, but how is it that the gopis are actually aware of Krishna's qualities of greatness? Because they are addressing Krishna by the word, oh, you are the Paramatma in everyone's heart. The gopis say, like when we serve the husbands or relatives, we actually serve the Paramatma within them. And since you are the external manifestation of Paramatma, so by serving you, we are actually serving all our husbands and relatives. So they are actually aware of Krishna's qualities of greatness, although they are in the union with Krishna. So does that mean the gopis are actually in a state actually lower than the prema bhakta? So then Vishnu Chakravartakur writes, he gives a counter argument by saying, actually gopis are aware of Krishna's qualities of greatness because they were feeling that, oh, they are going to be separated from Krishna. Because Krishna had actually spoken so many verses to tell them to go back to their homes. So because they were actually in the mood of imminent separation from Krishna, although in one sense they are in the presence of Krishna, so because of their imminent separation from Krishna, so they also became aware of Krishna's qualities of greatness. So therefore, Vishnu Chakravartakur concludes by saying, thus the magnitude of the gopis' experience of Krishna's greatness is actually the measure of the greatness of their love. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena ya kalpita. That the highest method of worshipping Krishna is by following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, because Rukmini is just a comparison, that Rukmini in the imminent mood of separation from Krishna, she became unconscious. But how the gopis actually exhibited, so for that I just chose this verse. And like another comparison between the gopis of Krishna and the queens of Krishna, like Shivaram Maharaj writes a very beautiful point in one of his books. So Shivaram Maharaj says, in the case of the gopis, because they were having a relationship with Krishna which is actually socially unacceptable, so even when they are actually meeting Krishna, in every moment of their meeting with Krishna, the predominant mood is only separation. Because there is always a feeling that, oh, at any moment we have to leave Krishna's association. Because their relationship with Krishna is socially unacceptable. So even there, meeting with Krishna is actually, that union with Krishna is actually predominated by the mood of separation. So therefore he says that thus the dominance of the mood of separation, even in the act of meeting, enriches the relationships and makes ever fresh each meeting the gopis have with Krishna. So because the predominance of the mood of separation, that actually makes each meeting more and more exciting, more and more fresh. But on the other hand, in the case of the queens of Krishna, they initially, each of the queens, they took great risks in order to get Krishna as their husband. But after their initial risk, they had the lifelong companion with Krishna. So in that sense, he mentions that although Krishna, like many, in Dwaraka, many times he had to leave Dwaraka to actually to kill different demons, but still, unlike the gopis, that even in their union, there's always, each moment is actually predominated by the mood of separation. So therefore he says, so therefore in this Vipralamba Bhava, the mood of separation, it is actually the highest, and which is actually exhibited, which is present in the gopis of Vrindavan. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasizes this mood of separation, and in one purport Prabhupada explains why Mahaprabhu emphasizes mood of separation, because it protects the sadhakas from falling down to the position of sahajiyas. Because the sahajiyas, they think that, oh, I have achieved Krishna. I already met Krishna. So in order to protect the sadhakas from falling down to the position of sahajiyas, so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the mood of separation, the Vipralamba Bhava. And another beautiful thing, another thing he was thinking was that here Krishna gave so many reasons to Rukmini that you have made a wrong choice in marrying me. Actually, Krishna spoke all these things when they are already having grandchildren. And they are already having grandchildren, and Krishna is telling that, oh, you have made a wrong choice in marrying me. So a similar instance, sometimes people may ask that, once one news reporter asked Prabhupada, so you are actually serving Krishna, but what if you come to know that at the end of your life, you come to know that Krishna does not exist, that you made a wrong choice in taking to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he gave a simple reply. He said, so even if Krishna does not exist, but still I will continue to serve Krishna, because I like the chanting the holy names of Krishna, because we like to hear about Krishna, we like serving Krishna, we like to be in the association of the devotees of Krishna. Even if Krishna does not exist, we will continue to do the same activities. So actually, it's a very simple pastime, but of course, Prabhupada told one more thing. But what if suppose you come to know at the end of your life that Krishna actually exists? So then, we quote this particular pastime, but if you go a little deeper, when Prabhupada gave the first part of the reply, even if Krishna does not exist, we still continue to serve Krishna only. But what it shows is that, Giriraj Maharaj was telling in a lecture, this actually shows how Prabhupada is in the mood of spontaneous devotional service. Actually, Prabhupada is the eternal associate of the Lord, but in the case of spontaneous devotional service, a person, he does not serve Krishna, it is said in the scriptures, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the case of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, a person serves Krishna because he has heard that, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Guru has told. So many inspiration comes from the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But in the case of spontaneous devotional service, a person does not care, even if Krishna does not exist, we still will continue to chant the holy names. We will continue to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada apparently gave this simple reply, but actually from that, we actually get this, the deep level of Prabhupada's actually devotion, how it's in the stage of spontaneous platform. And another thing is that, in the 1970s, when many devotees would actually join the Hare Krishna movement, sometimes when the parents would actually take their, when they would actually somehow kidnap their sons who had joined the Hare Krishna movement, and then they would appoint some like psychiatrists, or like Prabhupada called them deprogrammers, in order to actually again remove all the Hare Krishna philosophy from their actually minds. In one sense, in this pastime, Krishna is acting like a deprogrammer to Rukmini. Krishna is actually telling Rukmini that you have made a wrong choice, and she is giving so many reasons. And once when Giriraj Maharaj's parents, when they appointed some deprogrammer, but that deprogrammer gave so many arguments, but Giriraj Maharaj gave so many counter arguments, and finally he said that that deprogrammer told the parents of Giriraj Maharaj that your son is permanently damaged. Your son is permanently damaged. So in that sense, Krishna was acting like a deprogrammer, but Rukmini Devi actually completely dismantled all the arguments of Krishna. In that sense, here we see Rukmini Devi, she's exhibiting the highest quality of Uttama Adhikari. Like Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Sindhu, he talks about Kanishna, Madhyam and Uttama Adhikari. So Kanishna Adhikari is one who has faith in Krishna that devotional service should be performed. But then his faith might get, he may lose his faith or for temporarily when somebody gives him opposing arguments. But Madhyam Adhikari, who has got a strong faith, but he may not be able to convince others when somebody poses arguments. But at least his faith will not be shaken. But on the other hand, in the case of Uttama Adhikari, Shastre Yuktauch Nipuno, just say that Uttama Adhikari is one who is expert in, skillful in logic and scripture, and proud of Shraddha. He has a very deep faith. And he has a very deep faith in his heart. And such a person is Uttama Adhikari. So not only his faith will not be shaken when somebody poses arguments, but he will be able to convince the other person that he should also actually serve Krishna. And Rukmini Devi is exhibiting the highest level of Uttama Adhikari, because here Rukmini Devi is actually dismantling the arguments of Krishna himself. Because when Krishna is giving so many reasons, that can be really heavy. But even when Krishna is giving so, in the case of us, we may meet some argument with somebody else, etc. Some other people of some other religion, or some materialists, or scientists, etc. But in the case of Rukmini Devi, she is exhibiting the highest level of Uttama Adhikari by actually convincing even Krishna himself that how she has made the right decision in serving him and choosing to marry him. And there is one beautiful verse which Madhavendra Puri tells, where he also exhibits similar kind of determination. He says, Mugdam mam nigadantu niti nipuna brantam muhur vaidika bandam bandava swaschaya jadadiyam muktadara sodara unmattam danino viveka chatura kamam mahadambikam moktum nakshamate managapi mano govinda padaspruham. So Madhavendra Puri has spoken this beautiful verse. He says that, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusion, neeti nipuna, or let the people who are actually into Vedic rituals, they may call me as illusioned, they may call me as misled. And the friends and relatives, they may call me that I am frustrated. And my brothers may call me a fool. And wealthy Mammonites, wealthy people, they may call me that I am actually very proud. And they may call me I am actually a mad person. Other learned philosophers may assert that I am very much proud. But although all these people may actually criticize me, but still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. So Rukmini Devi is also actually exhibiting her determination to serve Krishna by dismantling each and every argument of Krishna. And finally, I just want to, just coming to this particular verse, I just mentioned 2 points and I'll end. So in this particular verse, Rukmini Devi is particularly dismantling 2 arguments posed by Krishna. So Krishna had previously told that you should choose a better husband than me. You should choose a better husband than me. So for that, Rukmini Devi is saying that actually a woman will choose a better with some other husband if that woman has not smelled the aroma of your lotus feet. So she says, which woman, having smelled the aroma from your lotus feet, will want to marry some other man? Which woman, after having heard the glories of you, will want to marry some other man? similar verses come that satsangan mukta dussango hatum notsahate buddha kirtyamanam yasho yashya sakrit achanya rochanam. So in the first canto, Suta Goswami says that satsangan mukta dussango, the intelligent people who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. Then how could the Pandavas, who are always with Krishna, who are dining with Krishna, who are all the time with Krishna, how could they tolerate separation from Krishna? Like that Suta Goswami is speaking a verse. Prithu Maharaj also speaks a similar verse. There's a very beautiful prayer. Yashaha Shivam Sush Shrava Arya Sangame Yadra Chaya Chopa Shrinoti Te Sakrit Katam Gunagyo Viramed Vinapashum Shriyat Pravavre Guna Sangrahe Chaya. So in this verse he says, Yashaha Shivam Sushrava Arya Sangame. Which person, after hearing the glories of you, Yadrachaya, even by chance, that means he has not planned to hear the glories of the Lord. And Yadrachaya Chopa Shrinoti Te Sakrit, even once he has heard, in the association of devotees, Arya Sangame, and after that, which person will actually want to hear something else? Katam gunagyo viramed vina pashum. Which person will want to hear something else unless he is nothing but an animal? So Rukmini Devi is expressing a similar mood. And finally, Rukmini Devi is saying that Krishna told in that, previously he said, actually I am gunair hina, I am bereft of all good qualities. But Rukmini Devi is saying, actually you are the abode of all good qualities, gunalayam. So when very beautiful verse, when Brahmaji is offering the prayers, Brahmaji says, gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatum hitavatirnasya kayishvarasya kalena yairva vimitasu kalpair bhupam savakke mihikadyubasa. So Brahmaji says that actually somebody may be able to count the number of atoms, number of sand particles in the earth. Somebody may be even able to count the number of snow particles. Somebody may be even able to count the number of light particles in the sunlight. But even such a person can never count the unlimited qualities of you. So Sanatan Goswami writes a very beautiful point in the purport. He says that, why is it that Krishna is having unlimited qualities? Is not only abode of qualities having unlimited qualities, but the reason is that Krishna wants to attract each and every conditioned soul in a personal way. So therefore Krishna manifests unlimited qualities so that he can attract each and every conditioned souls in a personal way. So therefore he is exhibiting unlimited qualities. So out of his love towards the conditioned soul, Krishna is actually exhibiting his greatness in the form of actually unlimited qualities. So In this way, Rukmini Devi is saying, like, you are actually the abode of all good qualities. So, I'll stop here. Anybody has any comment section? Sorry.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.